Welcome to the Hardware Asylum Podcast Extras. In this episode, we introduce you to Endorphy with a live unboxing and take a first look at the keyboard kit for the CyberDeck build. I'm your host, Dennis Garcia, and with me today, I have Darren McCain. One of the popular, shows that we do on our podcast show is the unboxing.
Oh, yeah. Now, those are always kind of entertaining, maybe more so for us because we get the opportunity to take the first look at some of the cool new products.
Yeah. And it's a bit of a meta joke because this is a audio only podcast. So you'll have to use your imagination.
What do they call that when you do the noises, right?
Oh, yeah, that's the...
box.
yeah, I don't think we're a cam show just quite yet.
Not yet.
The idea here is that we're going to try to describe these products as best we can, and you'll just have to use your imagination. And please come to the website, check the show notes, because we'll have links to all of these products so that you can go out and see for yourself.
Excellent.
Now, these products are from Endorphy.
So I'm not familiar with the Endorphy. Is it Endorphy? Endorphy?
Endorphy? I'm sure somebody will correct us. But the point is, this is a Polish brand.
Oh.
And it's one of the largest, if not the largest brand that sells computer gear in Poland.
Well, that sounds impressive.
Now, they have partnered with Mod My Mods. It's another online retailer that we really like. They have some great stuff. Check out their store. We'll have a link in the show notes. They've partnered with Mod My Mods to be their, in this case, exclusive U.S. distributor.
Excellent.
And now I met with them at CES. I got to see the entire product line, which is amazing. The part that they kept stressing was cost. And we can talk about that a little bit later because, you know, as enthusiasts, we try not to talk about cost, but in this particular case, cost is really a big factor in what these products are.
So now we're looking at a couple of products. We're looking at a keyboard and a headphone set.
Yeah, we have the Thok TKL, 10 keyless wireless keyboard, mechanical keyboard. And we also have the Vero Plus USB.
Well, I think maybe I want to stress the reason that I think that they stress price is the same reason that I do. And that is that you spend your money largely when you're building a computer on those critical components, your video card, your processor, your motherboard, your RAM. And the accessories, the peripherals, which is the stuff I like to play with, is often an afterthought, right? So you're trying to figure out, oh, how do I stretch to get a mechanical? How do I stretch to get a wireless? How do I get a good gaming headset when I've spent all my money on my cool build?
Well, and what companies do to lower cost is reduce the amount of extras that are in there. You know, that's why when you buy a low-end motherboard, you may or may not get a SATA cable. You may not get a paper manual anymore because they're trying to lower cost and be able to hit that price point that they're after. Endorphy does not necessarily do that. So, for instance, our Vero Plus USB headset, which we can do an unboxing.
Yeah, let's take a look at this headset.
It comes with ear cups.
Ooh, now you know I'm a bit of a headphone snob.
Yeah, that's why I got these, actually.
So I'm excited to check these out because finding a good, cost-effective headphone is a huge challenge. People are always buying what I would consider mass-market garbage headphones. And
oh, yeah.
Well, they don't have to.
I mean, we talked about the HyperX Clouds for years.
So good for the money. Yeah. And really, people are still buying those Walmart brand Logitechs and...
Yeah, well, it's because it's easy to get, and it's...
Ooh, lots of stuff in here.
Yeah, the... like headphones in general, you can buy them off of Amazon, but unless you can put them on your head, you never know if they're going to fit right or if they're even the right size based off of what's in the photo.
So I've got, I think, most of the goodies. Okay, that's everything. So, all right, let's start with the important part. We've got headphones.
Headphones. And Darren's going to be opening these up. I'll let him talk because he's touching them.
Here, I'm making headphone noise for those of you that dig that sort of stuff. All right, so what's jumping out at me immediately is these are all black. We've got metal. Yeah, we got metal holding the ear cups. And we've got what looks like probably a faux leather on the top that reminds me a lot, actually, of my B&O headset. It looks a lot like the B&O H7s that I have as far as the design strategy, which is a good thing.
Mm-hmm. The one thing I noticed when I saw these at CES was the thickness of the ear cups. I mean, there's a lot of padding there. Mm-hmm.
So these look really nice. Now, this is a pleather. Now, I feel like I have on my Sennheiser, my H6XXs, aftermarket headphones. I don't remember the brand. I've bought new pads for them, and they are very similar in shape to these. So it feels like memory foam. It's relatively thick. I'm going to take off my podcasting headset and give them a try.
Arguably, the podcasting headset is probably crappier than the ones you're going to be putting on.
Okay, so here we go. So immediate impression, very lightweight.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of space around my ears, which is nice. And because of the lightweight, I'm not feeling a lot of pressure on the crown of my head, which can be a problem with a lot of headsets.
Yeah. Now, the adjustments, when you put them on, I heard some snapping.
Yeah, so the metal that goes into the adjustments, I pulled down both sides. Now, I have a little bit of a longer face because I'm tall. So I tend to bring these down a little bit just out of habit every time I put them on.
Yeah.
And these were no exception. But the brackets for adjustment are definitely metal, probably aluminum. And I'm gonna take a closer look here and let you hear.
Are they stiffer?
So, yeah, we're definitely ratcheting. Well, all headphones are kind of stiff when you get them out of the box, right? Because mm-hmm. you don't want them to be loose. A little bit of play, but not bad.
Well, that's normal.
And okay, I'm going to put on the podcast headphones again here and let you give those a try.
So that way he can be normalized again. So, now, I tried these on at CES, but I will do this again.
So I'd say it's a little bit larger on the side, and I'm reaching for the box here because I'm guessing that's to support a larger size driver. And yeah, I'm pleasantly surprised. These have a 53 millimeter driver, which is excellent. And I used to have to pay quite a bit for a 53 millimeter driver. And what we're talking about, of course, is the size of the speaker that's inside the headphones.
Oh, yeah.
A larger driver gives you more frequency response. And if you don't have a larger driver, you lose all of that lower end. And of course, you're never going to be able to replace a dedicated subwoofer with a headset.
Nope.
But you want to get at least some bass response to flush out your sound.
Yeah. Now, there are no controls on the headset. Controls being volume and stuff like that, because we have two ports. We have a dedicated microphone port and the one for our other device.
All right, which leads me, well, first, before we go there, it does, and you mentioned this, I think, already, it does come with a second set of earbuds.
Ear cups.
Ear cups, thank you. I'm pulling these out. And these have a softer, more velour to them, mm-hmm. but the same, well, about the same depth. So for those that don't like the harder, smoother surface of the pleather, which can cause some sweating, these are going to be more porous, which will help with that.
Oh, yeah.
But otherwise, they look like they're the same. It's nice that they're labeled left and right for you. And I think that's a huge thing to include on a fairly budget-friendly set of headphones, because inevitably, the thing that wears out first is going to be the ear cups.
Well, yeah, especially... You know, you mentioned sweat. You know, if you use the clothy ones, then it kind of absorbs some of that stuff. But the pleather ones, I can attest, you know, because my podcasting headphones were pleather, and the pleather part fell off. So now they're kind of a cloth, which is pretty
cool. All right, so I've got a lot of cables in this bag.
Holy cow.
Wow, you do. Okay, so first let's start with the headphone. So we've got...
microphone?
Yeah, the microphone. So it looks like a two-pole, so... maybe 5 inches in length, full flex with a, they call this foam pad, a diffuser, right?
The dead cat.
So, exactly. So, nothing too fancy here, but fully adjustable, flexible voom. So, I've found your controls. So, we have inline controls on the cable. Looks very lengthy. Let's see if the box will tell me how lengthy.
So these are the Plus Edition, and they come with a 5.1 USB controller. So that is really what we're looking at here.
Okay, so there is inline controls, probably a mute button and a volume control. Mm-hmm. And then in addition to that, as you mentioned, there's two sets of them.
Oh, yeah, one's long, one's short.
Excellent. So that's a nice value add there, because mm-hmm. you're going to get two completely different controls. One for if you're, you know, obviously reaching the back of your case, and one that's much shorter if you're yep. you're running off of something in the front.
Yeah, like your phone.
Or in this case, as you mentioned already, the USB dongle.
Oh, yeah.
So we've got a nicely branded matching. And Endorphy, I'm going to call it, because that sounds good to me. This is a DSP, right? So let's take a look at the box and see what they've given us. It's a 7.1 surround sound controller. And my guess is that you can modify that with some software that you download directly from their site. So no onboard controls for that either, but it has a nice texture to it, and it's pretty. And
So you can run it with the controller, or you can run it directly off of an analog source like your phone, or just the, you know, that headphone jack on your PC.
So to round this thing out, we've got a Y adapter, which you would use to take that that four pole headphone cable and turn it into a input output for your mic and headphones if you're using it. So not only can you use this for a PC application, but you could use this for your mobile devices like your smartphone or your console.
It's like it's all encompassing.
And a little tiny jack. So if you're not using the microphone, I'm guessing that this is the cover.
Oh yeah, definitely. Cool. So obviously we'll get pictures of this, and we'll have a full article available on Hardware Asylum probably around the time that this podcast goes live.
All right, pretty close too. All right, so more to come on that.
All right, we're going to move on to the second product, and this is, go ahead and read that off.
The Thok. TKY. Now, Thok is an interesting name. I wonder if it means something in Polish, but
no.
Thok to me is like a cartoon character noise, right?
Well, and the funny story was, you know, and everybody has a different exposure to these acronyms on keyboards these days, right? It was like 65% or 55% or TKL. And that was one of the comments that I got when I took the tour at CS. Is like, I didn't even know what a TKL was. You know, I got PS2 keyboards on my desk, and it's like, well, I got some of those too. And I had to think back. It's like, well, when was the first time I heard about TKL? And that was when Darren was saying, hey, try to find this keyboard somewhere. I'm like, oh, okay, what's a TKL?
Exactly. And we talk about that quite a bit in some of the keyboard reviews, the different sizes. But the TKL keyboard seems to be where a lot of the innovation and competition is coming from these days. I think it's safe to say it may be the hottest keyboard market right now as mm-hmm. far as price and performance. And that's probably, this is going to be a great example. All right, we got this open. It was harder than I expected.
Yeah, it's all that stickers.
All right, so we got one beautiful black braided cable. Nothing fancy here.
Oh, USB-C. So it's a USB A to USB-C.
USB A to C. So there's no C to C cable. Looks like
key puller.
Very simple. Wow, that is a very simple keyboard puller, but it'll do the job.
Mm-hmm. Well, chances are you probably never need to pull a keycap.
Let's get this thing out and take a look at it.
Well, I guess unless you spill some soda on there and you need to mop it up really quick.
Yeah, but I do like the ability to change out the switches and the keys, which is one of those things that has been appearing a lot more in the keyboards. Ooh, so right off the cup, my first impression, we got high surface mounted keys, which reminds me of my daily driver. I've got an ROG Strix TKL keyboard.
Yeah.
Two different versions of that have been reviewed on the site. We'll link to that below. But it's the same surface mount, which is a little bit higher. So your lighting gives a great ground effect.
Oh, yeah. Oh. The frame is plastic?
It feels like plastic. Looks like plastic. We got, I'm looking at the bottom here. We got pretty good size feet. We got double height adjusters. But what caught my attention is we have another plastic key puller in a little bracket on the back, so you won't lose it, right next to the USB receiver, which means, yes,
it's wireless.
It's wireless. So let's take a look at this. So 10 keyless, this looks like it's about probably a 75%. It's a little bit wider. The cases as if you just, I'm sorry, the keyboard, the keyboard is as if you just cut off the 10 keys. So nice branding on the front here. It's very subtle. Mm-hmm. The surface might be metal, Dennis. Here, I'll let you
All right,
we'll take a look here, because it's hard to tell, which is also a good sign. See if the box helps us out while you're looking here.
All right, it's really difficult to tell, but yes, it's plastic. which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. It helps to...
Well, the fact that I can't tell is a huge plus.
Oh, yeah. Well, and it has plenty of weight. That's the other thing, is like with a mechanical keyboard, it's going to have some inherent weight just because of what it is. But if it is too heavy, then... You know, full metal ones are definitely, they have some heft to them. But this is heavy enough that it's not going to slide around on your desk, and the feet will lock it in place.
So, of course, we got the gold-plated USB we already talked about. Mm-hmm. We have a mode switch on the right, which is really easy to spot, actually.
Yeah, that's the only switch I see. I don't see any others.
So this is going to be a tri-mode. So you're going to have the ability to run wired, you're going to be able to run Bluetooth, or you're going to be able to run wireless, which I'm guessing is... probably the 2.4 gigahertz range.
Okay.
Dennis is going to take a look. But as you're doing so, I'm just getting the feel for it.
Well, so, let's go ahead and read the box really quick before we get to there. So we have, as you said, wireless mode. We have the USB mode. We have programmable RGB lighting, likely with some software, unless we have key combinations on here to change the controller. We have the detachable cable, obviously, for wireless mode. We have PBT double shot keycaps.
Okay, now that's nice because that means that they are an industry standard. They can probably be replaced with any keycaps that are on the market that are in the same style.
Yep. We also have hot swappable switch sockets. So we have hot swappable keys. So if the key goes bad or you want to change from a red to a blue or a brown, just pop it out and put it in one in.
Now this particular keyboard ships with the Kale Red, but I'm guessing that there's probably a range of them. We'll find out when we do the review. Mm-hmm. But that does mean that you could swap these completely customizable. And that's the same thing we saw in those EPO Maker keyboards that we just reviewed. These wireless keyboards are getting cheap. And the fact that you can completely customize them means that you can buy one and use it as a base for, you know, going in and completely customizing it. You can pull out your WASD keys and replace them with different switches. You can get different keycaps that are different colors. Or if you're out on Dropper, one of the many keycap communities, you can buy cool Lord of the Rings caps or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And customize as you go. Now, the one thing that I do want to mention is the weight is sturdy, but for a wireless keyboard, it's not as heavy as I've seen, which probably means that it's not a huge high-capacity battery. That also helps keep costs down. I don't see that on the box. I'll try to find that for the review for you. But if I had to guess, I would guess it's probably 3,800 mAh or less.
Right. Well, it's just fine. I mean, the wireless function, I see that as being not the primary. It's a reason that you would buy it so that you could make it wireless. But if you have it plugged in via USB, I'm sure that that's how the battery gets charged.
Well, exactly. And I mean, that's kind of the common thing that we're seeing in these sub $100 keyboards is you have that wireless is going to last through, you know, classes if you're at school or if you're having to do some work from your lap.
Yeah.
But it's not designed to be 100% mobile.
Yeah. Now you did mention something.
Yes.
Sub 100. Now we hadn't actually talked about price yet, so maybe it's a good time that we can roll that in.
Let's do.
All right. So for the keyboard, since we're on this product right now, this wireless keyboard, the stock TKL, $85.
Wow.
And so that is respectable for sure. $83.50 at Mod by Mods, and it's available now as of this recording. Now for the headset, we have the Endorphi Vero Plus USB, $48. So,
and that's with the... with the surround sound dongle, because that's impressive. Both of these are pretty impressive. Now, I wasn't too terribly off on the price, but that's comparing this with, to be fair, you know, Chinese Korean brands, which is probably not very fair because we're using a more premium, although it's not a cherry switch, a more premium switch, and much stronger, nicer keycaps than we've seen on some of those import keyboards in that same price point.
Yeah, and it's Wi-Fi. And Bluetooth. It's wireless. You can go without the cable.
All right. So I'm looking forward to getting this one on the bench for sure. I think we're going to see probably really great visibility from the RGB because of the surface mount style. Mm-hmm. I love the feel for it. And if you've used the Kale Red switches, it is Kale, right? That's a...
Yeah. Well, somebody can correct us if we're...
Kali, Kalia, I don't know.
Klauth.
I think Kale is right. switches, which are one of the very popular alternatives to the traditional cherry. And we haven't talked a lot about that, but there are, as we've seen in some of our other keyboards more recently, a wide variety of different key types coming out. And we're talking about the switches themselves. Mm-hmm. And part of the reason for that is just really because Cherry's patents have expired,
yep,
which has allowed a lot of folks to not only duplicate, but also improve upon the functionality of those original popular switches. So you can't go wrong with the Kale style.
Do you remember an older cartoon, Rocky and Bullwinkle?
Well, yeah.
Yeah. So there was a famous phrase that Rocky would say. It's like, now for something that you'll really like. Remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know. Maybe it was Mandela effect, but that's how I remember it. But anyhow, I have this small little box of goodies I was going to share.
Okay. So it's is it my funny, me funny?
I think that that's the Chinese manufacturer of it. Admittedly, I purchased this off of AliExpress.
Okay, so I'm opening the box and I got switches. So we got keyboard switches.
Mm-hmm.
We got, I don't even know, is this RGB stuff?
Some of that is. Those are all electrical components. We can go through that in a moment.
Oh my gosh. Okay, now this has become very clear. This is a PCB. This is your crazy keyboard project.
Yeah, this is for the CyberDeck that we talked about last month. So, and I figured, you know, it's like if I'm going to go through the effort of 3D printing a frame and stuff, I'm going to, instead of using just a regular keyboard, I'm going to put together something. And I found the Korn version 3 that really appealed to me. So I bought one.
I'm looking at two PCBs, right and left.
Uh-huh.
Oh, which I just did backwards. So that's okay. That's interesting.
Yeah, I got to figure out which way's up. I think it's the other way.
It's got to be, right? So this is kind of what we alluded to when we talked about the Thought keyboard, right? Only this is like the extreme. So what you're going to do is build a keyboard from scratch?
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Honestly, I'm not looking forward to it, but I am really excited about the prospect of messing up a mechanical keyboard.
So now this is something that we've talked about over the years, and I know that there are kits that you can buy and classes that you can take. And in fact, I believe at one of the last Boise Lands, shout out to the Boise Land crew, they did a class where you could build a mechanical keyboard.
I don't know if they went to this extreme.
No, because this is two PCBs.
Yeah, well, it's two yeah.
And
it's also a bit of a natural, because we have the keys are at different heights.
Oh, okay, I see. So is this going to be two separate keyboards?
Uh-huh. Yeah, it's going to be it's right and left. So the way that this is set up, and actually this picture that's on the box is probably a bit better, and I'll try to post these in the show notes down below, but every little black spot on there is where a key goes.
I see. Okay.
And so while normally you have a wide key for the space bar, this one you have basically one key that you would define as the space bar, and then the other key is designed to be the enter key, which I'm not sure if I really like that. But
so we've talked about these separate keyboards in the past, but I've never actually seen one in person. I'm actually playing with the switch here. It looks like it's a cherry brown, probably a clone of a cherry brown. Heck, it could be a kale brown, right?
Well, this is a Galtron.
Oh, it's a Galtron.
Or a Gatron or whatever. It's I wanted the, I don't know, I picked brown because it's like, it was different. But it's low profile. You see how it's not very tall?
Sure enough.
So this particular keyboard is the LP version, or the GLPs, which is the Galtron low profile. As I said, the Korn version 3, so a split keyboard. Designed by a keyboard guy in Japan, which is pretty crazy. And there's several versions of that have come out. And this keyboard is special beyond what you see right now.
I can imagine. So you are going to have to purchase or manufacture the case for this, I'm assuming.
And I'm going to have to buy the case. So the thing is, this kit, I thought, came with the case. but it was cheap and this is why it didn't come with the case. So as you know, there is a mid plate that is required to hold the key switches in place.
Right.
And that mid plate is what's missing, and that's part of the case. And when you get the case, you get an acrylic bottom, you get a carbon fiber mid plate to hold the keys down, and then you get a couple of like clear plastic pieces that go over the devices in the middle that we can talk about in a moment.
Okay, so I've been playing with the switch. It's a, actually got a nice actuation point. Actuation?
Yeah, whatever that word is.
Oh my gosh, I'm so close. but yeah, it feels really nice. The shallow is interesting too, though, although that does mean you have to get the matching keycaps, of course.
Yeah, you'd have to get low profile keycaps. But it turns out that the top, the plus on the top, is standard. So oh, yeah. I can just get any keycap, and they're on Amazon for like $19.
Yeah, any low profile cherry style, I think is what they call that, or MX style maybe. Mm-hmm. Yeah, this is really cool.
Yeah, so the PCB, and that's what these components are in here. So if we wanted to, we can open these up if you want.
Yeah, it's just a little, I mean, obviously I've messed with.
Just don't drop them.
With switches before, but this is like.
Yeah, this is beyond.
Next level here. All right, so we got all kinds of.
All right, so those are the hot swap sockets.
Oh, sure enough. They're going to have to, you're going to have to solder.
Oh, yeah, I got to solder.
So these are going to solder on the back.
It's not just a Lego thing.
And then the switches will snap in, and this, I don't know, what do we got here?
Those are LEDs. Flip it over.
Oh, sure enough. Yes, yeah, so we got a couple strips of LEDs. That'll be fun.
So this keyboard has underglow, so there's LEDs that shine at the bottom, and then it also has individual lights for every keycap. And these were not clear, and I think that the light may shine through them or shine around them. I'm not sure how the light's supposed to work, but there's two sets of LEDs. There's a small LED and a large LED, and the large, I think, is for the underglow.
Okay, that makes sense.
All right, and though, those are the things I'm worried about. Those are diodes.
Oh, my gosh, so many.
And they're small. They're all surface mount.
Wow.
Which soldering those with by hand is a challenge because you don't want to overheat them, but you still have to be able to get your soldering iron in there to melt everything.
Well, you're definitely going to get a lot of practice, that's for sure.
Well, I've had lots of practice, but yeah, nothing like this. So those are the cool things.
So this is got to be the controller, right? Which is black gold. That's nice. Oh.
Yeah, so it comes with two controllers. So you have a controller for each PCB.
Right.
And then you also get an OLED screen for each PCB.
Oh, no, that's going to be cool. That must be what this little dude is.
Yeah, that's the OLED screen. And that's what the clear pieces do. They cover those OLED screens to protect them.
Makes sense.
And then there's also some sockets in there because you need to link the two boards together. Mm-hmm. And then there's a socket that goes, it's a USB at that point, that goes and connects to your computer.
Right. So I'm looking at that there too. And oh, wow. This is a big project. I'm actually excited for you because this is something that I've talked about doing for years. And I've always been, maybe too afraid to tackle. I've never been great at soldering. And it just feels like one of those projects where.
Oh, that doesn't go in there, by the way.
Oh. Yeah, feels like one of those projects where you could just do some damage learning.
Oh, well, and that's the danger. So I did a count, and they included like two extra pieces of each device. And
right.
So there is a total of like, well, there's a diode for every keycap, and right. They included a couple of extra of those. So if I screw up one of them, I can replace it.
Okay.
But if I screw up like three of them, then I'm on DigiKey trying to find replacements, basically. The sockets should be pretty easy. There's self-explanatory, just kind of put those in. The thing that I've been reading about these surface mount LEDs is that they're very sensitive to heat, which, I've soldered a lot of electronics before, and, so I have a technique down. To allow me to surface or to solder these things. But since I've never actually soldered LEDs before, I'm not sure if the heat sensitivity is within my skill set, which I'm sure it is. But, you know, because there's some people out there that, like, you know, I've seen videos, right? They're like holding the soldering iron down. And if you count in your head, they're like holding it for like 10 seconds.
That seems like a lot.
That is like, we're going to be burning the PCB time. You know, it's like 2 seconds at most. And some of the videos that I've seen of people assembling this keyboard are, you know, it's just basically a wipe action. So it's like, boom, it's less than a second and you're soldered. And that's what you should need. And that's not going to be a problem.
Well, I'm excited about the project, but what immediately jumps out is, what do you think a project like this is going to end up costing?
Okay. Well, the key switches, they were, I think it was $30 and I get 50 of them.
Okay.
And I got these off of AliExpress.
Nice.
The keyboard set, you know, there was several versions you can get. You could get a wireless one that came with a battery and a different controller. I got the wired one because it's going to go inside the CyberDeck build. Won't really be separated, which unfortunate, but I think it'll work better with the design. That was, I think, $28. And then you needed to spend tax on it. But again, AliExpress prices. Then I needed to get a case. Well, I can't get a case off of AliExpress, so I'll have to get them stateside, and that's $48. So all in all, not my labor included, less than $100 to put this together. If you were to buy this from like Keybeeb, I think that's like the name of the site.
Yeah, we'll have to link for you guys down below.
You can get this exact same keyboard design from them.
Pre-assembled, I'm assuming?
Well, you can get a pre-assembled one, or you can buy the kit one. And the kit actually comes with the mid plate that I still have to buy, the case. That's closer to like $300.
Ooh, I can see why you can save money building it yourself.
Yeah. Oh, and I guess the keycaps, I need to get those off of Amazon. And like I said, they're like $20.
Yeah, you can find actually really fancy keycaps for not much more than that.
Yeah. And these are going to be obviously low profile. I think it will go well with the CyberDeck build, both in the unique look of the keyboard and the ability to... I mean, it has, what, 4 levels in the firmware? So you hold down a function key or press a function key or something like that, and it will remap the keys into a different format. So if you wanted to have like the WSAD and then other arrow keys for playing games, you map that into a different level in the firmware. I'm not sure exactly how that works.
Oh, cool.
And I'm like, well, that is cool. But
it takes some getting used to.
Yeah, it would be like, well, how am I going to have to remap these? But you can remap that to anything. So I could have the enter key in a more traditional location off to the side, along with page up, page down. So the nice thing is that within the firmware, you can change and remap anything. And with 4 different levels, you can redesign it to anything you want.
Well, I'm definitely looking forward to seeing this thing in action, and hopefully some build videos as well.
For more information on the topics discussed in this podcast, please consult our show notes on hardwareasylum.com. Stay up to date on the latest at Hardware Asylum by subscribing to our RSS or subscribe to us on YouTube. This has been an Engineering Production, copyright 2025. Thanks for listening.